You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. On Raise Your Game this morning, do the stress of work leaves you grumpy and grouchy? And how can you actually win and influence people and be the nice guy and be human again at work? Well, to make sense of it all and to let us know that we can be human again is Rosli Hussein, Senior Vice President of Operations at Dale Carnegie Training in Malaysia. Very good morning, Rosli.
Good morning, and good morning to all BFM listeners out there.
All right, very good introduction. We can't pay you for that. But in today's workplace, Rosli, can you actually be nice and be human?
Absolutely. I believe, or in fact, we believe that today is being nice is more relevant because of the challenges that people are facing. People are being very competitive nowadays. Technology is up, and people need to cope up with progress. And in a way, we have lost that human touch. You know?
But when you say you need to be competitive, don't you need that winning attitude to be like a survivor, a predator, in order to win?
Of course, absolutely. It's just that people have goals. People have visions. And these are good. Having vision and goals are good. The challenge is that in the process of achieving our goals and vision, we get too obsessed. We call this what we call goal obsession. An analogy I can use is that we're too busy making money for the family that we neglect the family. Okay. This is where we're starting to lose the fine human touches that we used to have, you know, what our fathers and mothers used to inculcate in us.
And in today's world, when you say that, what brings to that point that we need to make that U-turn and go back to the fundamentals, the basics of being human? What brings about that change in today's world? Why?
Well, business is moving. I don't deny that. Progress is coming on. Except that things could be done a lot more faster if we slow down and be human a little bit. I was reading this article from the previous Formula One championship in Sepang, and one of the articles talk about this lady who organized hospitality in the program. You know? And one of the questions thrown to her was, she said, the question was, how do you manage all this with all the big shots coming around to watch Formula One? He said, simple. I always do it over a cup of coffee. If I use emails, it will take me 7, 8, 9, 10 emails before I solve anything. So being human can actually move things a lot faster. As we know, face-to-face communication is still the thing.
I would agree with that, coming from an old school of being in the workforce. I'm not that old anyway. But, you know, in today's world where it's a, you know, you hear phrases like it's a dog-eat-dog world. If you don't step on the other guy and get ahead, you'll never ever get ahead. If you're not a predator and you don't seize the opportunity, or, you know, I think in local terms we say, if you're not careful enough, you'll never win. You'll never be ahead in your workplace. You'll never get noticed. How do we shed this stigma that's already been in the in a regular workforce in today's environment and get back to being human?
Well, when we talk about competition, we always think about sports and games, right? Sports and games have got their own rules. You've got number one, number two, and number three. But in the game of life, you don't have that rule. So who wins, actually? The loser will never be satisfied. And it continues. The competition continues. The dog ate me today, but tomorrow I'm the dog. I'm going to eat the other person.
Well, so I'll be the dog.
Yeah. Where does it end? Where does it end? So how about working together and getting there together?
All right. You haven't convinced me yet, but I think we'll eventually get there because we're going to talk about this book by Dale Carnegie. With me on Raise Your Game this morning is Rosli Hussein, Senior Vice President of the Dale Carnegie Training in Malaysia. And there's a book, I think, you know, since the 1930s, I think it's been around. It's How to Win Friends and Influence People, particularly in the workplace. Tell us a little bit about this book.
This book was written in 1936. Circulation-wise, it's number three after the Quran and the Bible. It sold 70 million copies to date and it's still selling. See, if you're a book publisher, if you sell 100,000 books, you're happy. But this book sells 70 million copies. And the reason why Mr. Carnegie wrote this book is because of what we discussed just now. One of the biggest challenge of people in our everyday life is to communicate with the other person, convince, persuade the other person into your way of thinking. And it's because of the weakness in that communication area that we get into all these problems, and things are slowing down, arguments, you know, dog eat dog, as you mentioned just now, you know. Okay. That's the whole reason Mr. Carnegie wrote that book.
In 1936, probably it made sense, and you say, you know, it's the third best-selling book of all time.
Yeah.
Is it still relevant in today's world?
Much, much more relevant.
Why?
In 1936, Mr. Carnegie wrote that book because in New York City at that point of time, it was the Great Depression. He started classes in 1912, and he tried to find a reference book so that he can use inside his classes. He couldn't. So he took examples, stories, experiences from his classes and turned it into a book. He thought it's not going to sell, but actually took off. Because the Great Depression in New York, kind of like now, things are challenging. The need to survive, the need to win is great. So principles, the timeless principles from this book, is very, very useful today. And it's been 95 years these principles have been put to use, and they work.
Yeah, they but, work. But, you know, judging from what you're saying, and this book was written during the Great Depression,
yeah.
And now we are somewhat in a depression,
yeah.
Some would disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Does it take, you know, like an economic crisis, a financial crisis like this, for us to stop and think that, you know, we may be doing things a little too wrong, we may be running too fast ahead of the pack, and we're not being human enough? Does it take something like that for us to realize that we need to make a change?
Well, the principles are timeless principles. It's human relation principles. And we don't need those crises to realize that we are actually human.
But then again, if you look at it, what did the crisis come about? It's because people were greedy. It's a dog-eat-dog world. I need to get ahead of you. I need to make more money than you. I need to cheat you off your money.
Exactly, exactly. So that's why these principles will put everything in a little smoother way. Things will be a lot less competitive. In a nice way, that things are smoother and people solve problems a lot more easier. That's the whole idea of the principles.
There's a few principles that we want to get down to a little later, but in Malaysian context,
yes.
Are there any organizations or companies that actually believe in these principles and actually practice it?
Well, our client actually ranges from the biggest of organizations to the smallest, 2-3 staff. And we deal with the people side of business. Okay, companies can have the best systems, the best processes, but their stumbling block will always be people. That's where we come in. We work with the people, improve their performance so that the company, the organization can improve their bottom line. That's where we come in.
So, in a way, what you're saying that talent management, managing the talent within an organization is quite important.
It is. It is very, very important. It is key.
So, where are most companies missing the point in that perspective, managing talent? In your opinion,
okay. Speaking from the development side of human capital, most of the time, people think that training is expensive, but in actual, not training is even more expensive. Through our experience in Dale Carnegie, a lot of organizations lose money by virtue that their staff underperform, their staff makes a lot of mistakes, so they end up doing damage control, you know. But companies that believes in training, developing their people, usually move faster, their people grow, expand. And the reason why developing or talent management is important is because of this. And another challenge is people go to the wrong training.
Explain what? You mean companies
subscribe
to wrong?
For example, a company might say a sales organization, for them, they will say, my people cannot sell. They don't know how to sell, you know. And we ask them, have you sent them to any sales classes? They say, yes, we have sent them to any sales classes. Why are they not selling? It's just that they don't know how to sell. So if you keep sending them to sales classes, they get demotivated because they have been to sales classes. So maybe it's a different area of their job that is causing the problem. Maybe they're not motivated, maybe something wrong with the processes and so on. So these are everyday challenges that we face when we talk to training managers or training people, you know, not being able to pin down what exactly my people want. And in Dale Carnegie, we talk to you first. We will not deliver anything unless we understand what exactly is your problem or your issue, you know?
All right, we'll get down to a bit of those principles written way back in 1936 in a book that's still evergreen till today. And Rosie will come back and share that with us right here on Raise Your Game on BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
I'm Patrick Michael in for Raise Your Game, and with me is Rosalie Hussein, Senior Vice President at the Dale Carnegie Training in Malaysia. And we're talking about how to win and influence people and be human again in the workplace. Share some of those principles that's in the book, Rosalie.
Yeah, inside the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, Mr. Carnegie share with us 30 principles, 30 human relation principles. And he divided this into three groups. Number one being principles 1 to 9 is how to be a friendlier person. How to be the human magnet, you know?
How to be a friendlier person.
Yeah.
We've tried and tested, but doesn't seem to work. But anyway, continue, yeah. Sorry.
The second set of principles, it's how to win people to your way of thinking. Influence people. How to get people to give us willing cooperation. Not just cooperate with us, but cooperate willingly. And the third set of principle, Mr. Carnegie said, the principle of how to be a leader, a servant leader, basically, not a pushing leader, you know,
because a pushing leader. Yeah. Okay, we'll let you elaborate a little later.
Yeah, if we push, people will push back, you know. So
point number four.
Those three sets. So 30 is divided into the three sets.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Talk a little bit about being friendly at the workplace. How can that benefit us? If you be everybody's friend, don't you think everybody would want you to do their work for them?
Interesting. We've heard that from time to time. Okay. Let's start with the very first principle of Mr. Carnegie. This is the only principle that Mr. Carnegie include the word don't. All the other principles is getting you to do something. So principle number one says, don't criticize, condemn, or complain.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah, when we say that, most people say, how do we do that? Because that's what we do every day, you know?
And we term it as constructive criticism, by the way.
All right. So looking at it in a nutshell, you know, how do we feel if we get criticized? When people criticize us, how do we feel, Michael? How do we feel? How would you feel?
Well, of course, you feel, you know, disappointed, depressed a little bit, maybe, just, you know, don't have the urge to, you know, continue work for the day, possibly.
Exactly. From the very beginning, you probably wouldn't want to talk to me anymore after that, right? Communication is gone. So, similarly, if we're the one that is doing the criticizing, condemning, or complaining, we fail to become that friendly person from the very first beginning, you know? Communication is gone. It's shut down.
But how do you not criticize if you're in an environment where, you know, like for example here, it's a very creative environment. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you need to criticize to bring out the best in people. Or so we think.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why as we go on, principle number 23 will say, call attention to people's mistake indirectly.
Okay, how do you do that indirectly without getting straight to the point and make matters, you know, resolve immediately?
Yeah, because it's a principle, meaning it applies to everyone. Nobody in the world likes to be criticized. I haven't met one yet.
Okay.
For example, if you have a staff sending you a report with some errors inside there, it's easy for us to say, look at all these mistakes, you know.
Do it again.
Yeah, you've been working here for so long. How can you be making these mistakes?
Common.
Imagine how would that person feel if we say that, you know? You can instead say, I've looked at your report. Let's sit down a little bit and see in what way we can make it this better or improve it, you know? So Mr. Carnegie said, people do more good things than bad things. Why are we focusing on the little bitty mistakes? Whereas we can actually build the person, develop the person by helping the person be better.
If it becomes habitual, the same person comes in with a half-written report, not complete, and you say, let's sit down and do this, let's sit down and do this, where does the buck stop?
Okay, then we ask, why is this happening? Have we trained the people? Have we taught the people? Have we coached the person the right way to do it, you know?
It's not that that person is, you know.
Yeah. There's a lot of reason why people behave in a different way. Have we understand the person? So the whole idea of the Dale Carnegie principle is just not to simply be nice, but understand the person from their perspective. Why are they behaving in a certain way? Get to know them, get interested in them, so that in a way the whole thing is being human, is being nice. It's not just applying this. It's the whole idea, the whole environment, like you mentioned earlier. Yeah.
But looking at this, it takes a lot of effort to actually, you know, manage talent. Like you say, take your time, don't sweat the small stuff, as I would say, but, you know, encourage people. Isn't this being counterproductive, where other things could be done, you know, during this period of coaching, training, and, you know, consoling maybe?
Yeah. If we do it the right way, there are quicker ways to do it. Okay, we follow the right principles, we can do simple stuff, you know. A lot of leaders, I'm speaking in general, in the organization, lead without actually knowing their charges. Okay, so the easy way is people manage people, you know. So it's easy to manage chairs, tables, or cars, you know, but when it comes to people, we have to lead them, because every single individual is different. So it's only fair that we understand them so that we can lead them in a different way, so that we know what's good for them, what's not good for them, what's their hot button, and so on, you know. So in Dale Carnegie training, we teach or we share on how we can get across to people quickly using the human relations principles. And once they're part of us, they're friendly to us, we know them, it's easier to understand what makes them tick. That's the whole idea of the human relation principles.
And possibly Rosalie does know where everybody's hot button is. Rosalie Hussain, Senior Vice President of Operations at Dale Carnegie Training, is with us on Raise Your Game on BFM 89.9, the business station. Let's talk about the other part when you brought up influencing people to the way we think. Talk a bit about that.
Okay, of course, it has to start with being friendly first. See, it's difficult to influence anyone if we're not friendly to them, right?
Okay, let's just say we've approached that. Hi, good morning, welcome to the office. Good to have you back at work again. Here's a cup of coffee. I especially made this for you. Now I want to influence you to think the way I think. How do
and
we do
Mr.
that?
Mr. Carnegie said it must be done honestly as well. You're friendly and you're honest. It's not a facade kind of thing that you put up, you know? So the second set of principles says win people to your way of thinking. This is how we influence them so that they follow what we want them to do or where we want them to go.
Is this only for people in top management level or people across the board?
It's human relations. It starts from anyone. It's applicable to anyone. You know?
Okay. What happens if two people, strong will, one wants to influence the other of the way this person thinks, and the other wants to do the same thing as well? So wouldn't that be a clash where you got two different, you know, opposing poles of thought?
Yeah, that is the start of the whole problem, right? Two opposing poles of thought, like you said. And principle number 10, one of my favorites actually, the only way to get the best of an argument is to avoid it. Who wins an argument, Michael? Who wins?
I don't know. Somebody who's louder, probably.
Yeah. See, face-to-face, you might win, you know? You're louder, you're stronger, so I back out. But am I happy? Do I go home happy? I probably go home and say, Michael, I'm not going to trust him. I'm not going to work with him.
I'm going to hit him with a stick by the time he gets into the car park or something.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about a longer contract on this business, but since... So, who loses? Both parties lose, right? So, an argument is not a discussion towards a solution, but people argue for the sake of winning, you know? Okay.
So, what also you're trying to say is, if I do back out from that argument, or, you know, me influencing you, you influencing me, the way each other should think, there is an opportunity if I back down as well.
Yeah, I can show respect for your opinion. Mr. Carnegie said, the other people may be totally wrong, but they don't think so, right? So, when people speak out in meetings, for example, they believe 100% that their opinion is correct. If not, they will not open their mouth in the first place, right? And here we are saying, I think that's wrong, I think that's not good. How would that person feel? You will not communicate with me after that, right? Or your participation in the meeting will be
said,
able
what's the use? Yeah. I'll just sit down and warm the seat and then I'll hope that the next 30 minutes goes by fast.
So I'm not able to influence you. See, as we go on, the principles is about making the person want to contribute willingly.
Okay.
Let the other person do a great deal of the talking, you know. We all need airtime, not just radio announcers, you know. Everybody needs airtime. So if people know that by coming to us, they are able to speak, voice out their opinion, then it's easier for them to work with us, right?
Okay. All right. That needs a little digesting, but I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
And quickly now, on the third set of principles, being a serving leader.
Yeah, being a serving leader, yeah. Of course, the best way is to do the first set of principles, be friendly. Then we are now able to influence them using the second set of principles. Now we're ready to lead them, you know. We're ready to lead them. First principle in the being a serving leader, begin with praise and honest appreciation.
Begin with praise and honest appreciation.
Yeah, we appreciate for what they have done good. Nowadays, in the workplace, we don't really get much appreciation, you know. Things just goes on. Move, do this, do that, you know. Probably not even a small thank you at times, you know.
But isn't acknowledgement food for the soul?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Food for the soul, yeah. But do we get enough acknowledgement? What do you think, Michael?
I would not want to answer, but I leave it to the listener
right.
to actually digest that.
So basically, yeah, that's where I call attention to people's mistake indirectly come in. It's in the servant leader principles. And also it says, talk about your own mistakes before criticizing the other person, yeah? Before talking about the other person. This is humility in practice, you know. I can say, Michael, don't worry. When I first joined BFM, I was like this also, you know. I was making mistakes. I don't know what's going on. So why I'm here today is to discuss with you so that you don't repeat the mistakes that I made, you know. See, that's credibility in a leader, you know. Instead of saying, oh, even my grandmother can do this, you know, things like that. Okay.
Yeah, it does happen in times like that. But I think we have to move on because, you know, in a world where, you know, even government policies is pushing for, you know, being, you know, focusing on human capital.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be a little bit more human.
Yeah.
For people who haven't explored this before or haven't had the human touch in the organization, give me 2 points on why is it so important in today's world, Rosalie?
Why is it important? Get you more business. I would work with people that I know, people that I like, people that are nice, as opposed to somebody that is otherwise. Because everybody has got products nowadays. You put out a product, it can be copied in record time, you know? Okay? And the difference is
the face in front of the shop.
Yeah, I want to work with this person. Even buying things, we would rather buy things from people that we know. Better the devil we know, right?
And the devil we don't.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Very good. I think you just need 1 point instead of two.
Right.
Thank you so much,
Rosalie,
for joining us here on Raise Your Game on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.